Sorry, I forgot to pray for the offering. I'm not used to doing Aunt Jessie's job, too. So we'll go ahead and pray, even though you turned your envelopes in. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you, Lord, that everything that we give to you, God, you are the one who blessed us with it first. Lord, so we return back to you what you have blessed us with, God. We thank you that you meet every need in this place, Father God, every heart. In Jesus' name, whether it be a physical need, a spiritual need, a financial need, whatever it is, Lord, you supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. So today I want to start with another series, and this one probably be about the same length of time. I want to do this for the beginning of the year. So this is just the beginning setting sermon, you know, and then we'll continue on several over the course of the new year. The title of my message today is The Revelation of Jesus Christ. And the sermon series will be called Conquering the Demonic Spirits. You know, for a few months I was preaching on battling the darkness. And what that mainly was a varied things, but a lot of it was before we can conquer anything, we have to conquer the darkness that's in us, the darkness that we are faced with in every area of our lives, whether it be in our families or at our jobs, you know, or anywhere we go in life, you know, whether we just go anywhere. Sometimes you're on vacation and you're battling the darkness, you know. But before we can go any further, the really important thing I wanted to start off with is the revelation of Jesus Christ, because our foundation starts in him. And God spoke to me yesterday something that I think is really, really important for every one of us. It's for the body of Christ as a whole, but for each one of us, it's something we can't go on with without knowing. Amen. So turn to Matthew 16. And I'm just going to read a verse, and then I'm going to tell you context and kind of show you where the disciples are and where Jesus is for this revelation that he gives his disciples, that God gives his disciples. So chapter 16, verse 13 in Matthew says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And so this is what I'm going to go over. So I'm going to read. Has anybody ever watched on TBN this show called Dave Stott's Driving Through History? Well, one of his shows, he tells about Caesarea Philippi. And when he comes upon it, you know, in the Bible, it's like this really big pagan city. And when nowadays, if you go to it, it just looks like a bunch of ancient ruins. Nothing important. A lot of the greenery is grown over. It's not really like anything that we would think is a threat to our modern life, you know. So Dave Stotts talks about back in Jesus's day, this area, what it was a cave, and water came down. And in the spring, the Greeks believed that their god Pan would go to the caves, and in the spring he would come out and everything would have life again. And so in order to get him out, they believed that he would go in with all the fertility gods, and in order to get him out in springtime, they would perform all sorts of evil paganistic rituals. There were a lot of bestiality and sexual acts of just horrible things that they would do right there, and everybody could see it in front of this cave, and that was their ritual, and it was just horrifying, you know, for anyone to see. And the amazing thing is Jesus brought them right there into Caesarea Philippi. And can you just imagine, You know, these disciples are thinking like, this is like the red light district. Like, we don't come here. You know, why are you bringing us here? This is like against everything that we have been taught. And so, you know, you would think, what is wrong with Jesus? Why would he do this? You know, but Jesus did something so powerful in that city that I think a lot of times we miss out on how important it is. So at the entrance of this cave, it's they called it the Gate of Hades, which we would call the Gate of Hell. And what they believe that was like an entrance to the underworld. And so Jesus coming there, even though we know that's not true, that's what they believed. And so Jesus was taking all of his disciples to the gates of hell in a literal sense. He was showing them, this is where you need to be in the future. This is something that you're going to overcome. Okay, so we're going to continue reading on in Matthew 16, verse 14. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And you know, a lot of times we read this, and I remember Pastor bringing this out many, many years ago. We read this and we think that Simon is the rock, and everything is going to be built on Simon. But it's not. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of who Jesus is that God builds his church. Amen? And it's so awesome because without that revelation, we cannot prevail against any gate of hell. We cannot. Without a revelation of who Jesus is, we miss out on so much that God has for us, so much victory. Amen? So I want you to turn to, actually, go back to Matthew chapter 3 first. I'm going to start at verse 16, and then we're going to go to Revelation. So this is where Jesus gets baptized. Matthew 3:16, it says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And I just love this because Jesus himself, everyone there, they all heard who Jesus was, and they heard that he was loved by God. God specifically said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So this is his identity, all right? So then turn to Revelation chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And the time is at hand, meaning, you know, every time I read this before, I would think that it's just because the end times are at hand, which is true. But it's also the time at hand we need the revelation of Jesus Christ. As soon as John wrote this, it was his revelation of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you know, the amazing thing, when Jesus was talking to Peter, he tells him, "It is my Father who revealed this to you." And that's the really important thing. Only the Father can reveal himself to you. So I was praying last night and I was like, "God, you know, why is it, what is it, the part of the revelation that we need to know as your people? Like, what does that revelation mean?" And he just spoke to me and I wrote it down. And he said, "They need to know my love, and that's how they will know who I am." And so the only way for us to truly know Jesus Christ, the only way to know the Father, is to know his love. Amen. That is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Without you knowing his love, without you experiencing it and receiving it and God revealing it to your heart, you will never know who Jesus is. You can go through your whole life thinking you know him, but until you know his love, you do not really know him. Amen. So this last week, we watched this thing called Why the Nativity by Dr. David Jeremiah. Did anybody watch that this week? It was really good. And I just, you know, a lot of times it was like, I think it was like about 5 or 6 years ago, there was this huge deal made about wherever there was a nativity that people just wanted to take them down. You know, they get so offended. And it's just amazing to me. Like, it's just baby Jesus. You know, why would you be so offended by just baby Jesus? You know, but it's because that's the revelation of who Jesus is. And what he does is David Jeremiah goes through the entire story of when the angel appears to Mary and Joseph and to up to Jesus's birth, and then the wise men later on come to Jesus. They see the star in the heavens, you know. And at the very end, Dr. David Jeremiah gets on there and he says, you know, all of this, you know, you think it's some huge revelation and he's going to say something ultra profound, you know, something. And he says, it's just so simple. It's just John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." That was God's only purpose for why the nativity. The only reason he sent his Son is for you. Because he loves you. There's no other reason. He just loves you. And that's what we need to receive as a people. You know, this is the time of year where so many people get distracted and there's holiday meals and get-togethers and everything is like boom, 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 and it's stressful. And you go to the store and there's a million people. And it's like, you know, we need to focus on God sent his Son, Jesus. That's the most important reason for everything. Just like I said last week, Jesus, he's not just the reason for the season. He is the reason for everything. Amen. And so I just want to share a few more things. Let's see. You can just write these down. I have a lot of scriptures. So John 10, it talks about how we as his sheep hear his voice. So John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And John 10:14 says, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." And John 14:6 it says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And then continuing on verse 7, it says, "If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him." And I'm going to share what God showed me again. "They need to know my love. That's how they will know who I am." The love of God is what you need in your life. The only thing that will keep you going. It's the only thing that will get you to the Father. Amen. You know, when Jesus was talking about, when he was telling his disciples, You know, they were literally standing at the gates of hell. And you know, a lot of times we look at this and we're like, well, it would be nice if we didn't have to deal with everything in this life and we could just go to Alaska and build us a little hut and live away from society. You know, they were talking on the news a couple nights ago about in the Dakotas, they have these bunkers and they're like concrete bunkers that are built into the land. And it's so funny because so many people are buying up these bunkers and they're just, what they do is they build a little home inside and they do all of their work remotely and they don't do anything else. They just go in there and that's their life. And I'm thinking, you know, that's kind of how the body of Christ is. Instead of dealing with the things in this world and the trials and the tribulations that we know we're going to go through, sometimes we think it would be so much easier if we could just have a perfect utopia out there. And Jesus, he did not lead his disciples to Caesarea Philippi just to make it, you know, an example that we don't really have to follow, just a fun thing to see, you know, this isn't really going to affect you. What he did was he gave them that revelation and he said, on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Meaning it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't even matter if you feel like you're in front of the gates of hell your entire life. You may feel like you literally are there and there's nothing you can do to get away from it. That's fine because Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. God did not send us here to be conquered. Jesus conquered death and the hell and the grave, and he put us here so that we would be more than conquerors in him. Amen? So if you feel like you are literally at the gates of hell every single day of your life, rejoice. Start taking up joy that Jesus has placed inside of you and receive the love that he has for you because that joy and that love will carry you on through every single battle. Amen? And I just want to share one more thing and then I'll close. You know, the body of Christ has pretty much found itself more comfortable hiding in the darkness than shining into the darkness. You know, that one song, it talks about a lantern. And have you ever used a lantern? You know, when you light it, it shines brightly and it's beautiful and you need it. And you, if you've ever been in a cave, you need some kind of flashlight or light. But if that lantern loses its fuel, if that flashlight runs out of battery or whatever source of light you have, then that darkness immediately overtakes every single thing that you're in. If you do not let your light shine, you know, you need the wind of the Holy Spirit to fan that flame inside of you, to let you burn brightly. You know, Jesus, just like he says, you don't have a light that you're going to hide under a bushel. You know, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense for us as the body of Christ to hide in the darkness. What we are supposed to do is shine as a light in this darkness, in this very present world that we're in. Things are going to continue to get more and more evil. We need to get more and more bright. We need to be brighter than we've ever been before. Our lights need to shine brighter. Amen? Because not only is it important for us, it's important for every generation. Amen? Each generation is crucial in the fight against darkness. You know, we've had parents who prayed for us. We've had grandparents who prayed for us. We've had aunts and uncles. And what that's done is they have prayed for us so that their light will be pushed through into our generation. And then our generation, we will push our light through the next generation. So that's our purpose, is to continually let our light shine. But the only way that our light can shine is if we, first of all, receive the light. If God reveals the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is that he loves you. When you know that he loves you beyond a shadow of a doubt, nobody else can tell you any different. Your life will change immensely. You will see God working wonders in your life. You will see things happening that you've never seen before. Circumstances will change. You'll have good favor that you've never had before. You'll experience just the powerful awesomeness of God when you first receive his love. Amen. And I think, you know, there's a reason why God wanted me to share that. And I think it's because there are people even here today that don't know how much God actually loves them, that they are going through their life. I don't know who it is. You may be going through your life and you think because everyone's against you that apparently God doesn't love you anymore. Or maybe you feel like you've had so much pain and so much bitterness and you're going through literally the gates of hell. So why should God care about you? Nobody else does, but he still does. Amen. God still at this moment, it for us to remember that Jesus came to this earth because God so loved the world is the most important thing that we can ever remember. We need to keep that in our hearts and not give up, because I'm telling you, just like I shared last week, things are going to get harder than they've ever been before. Your faith will be tested in every single area of your life. And you need to be ready, because you can't do anything for yourself, but God can fight your battles. And he is the one who will take every burden. He's the one who will carry every single weight that you have, every single worry. He will take away all fear, only if you will surrender to him. You know, it says in his word, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The very first thing that you have to do is submit and surrender to our Father God. And what is he? He is love. You surrender to that love, and everything else will fall in place. Amen? So today is just a short sermon, but I pray that it touches your heart, and we will continue on with a bigger series next year. Amen? So you may go ahead and stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we do thank you and we praise you for your love, God. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us to a great purpose and plan uniquely designed for each and every one of us, God. Your plans are to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future and an expected end for what you want in our lives. God, we do thank you for our families, Lord, those who are lost, those who aren't serving you. God, we lift them up to you, Lord. We thank you, God, for salvation in our families, God. We thank you for that, Lord. And God, we lift up all those who are sick and hurting. We thank you for healing them by Jesus' stripes. Lord, draw us closer to you and help us, Lord, to turn our hearts to you, Lord, in repentance, God. If there's anything in us, Lord, that's not for you, that's against you, we ask that you would forgive us, Lord. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, bless our time together, Lord, next door. Let it be fellowship, bringing glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.